right. So first of all, again, a big yashikach to Mr. and Mrs. Friedman for opening their home. Hashem should bless them. They should have a shefa bracha v'atzlach ad bli day. All simchas and achas and brachas from the kids. All good things, b'ez Hashem. B'slech klal Yisrael. So, you know, every yontif requires preparation. Every yontif requires preparation. Every yontif needs that. But there's something unique about Pesach. When it comes to Pesach, not only does Pesach require more preparation than any other holiday, but the preparation for Pesach is part of the yontif itself. It's part of the yontif itself. It's like it's baked into to the halachas of Pesach that preparation is required. You know, let's say for sukkahs, for example, if a person just has a sukkah from the previous year, you're good to go. You know, if you have Lulav Esrog from the previous year, it's fine. Pesach is not like that. You know, there's a mitzvah to go and look for chametz, which means that you have to have chametz in your home to look for it, you know? So the preparation for Pesach is part of the yontif itself. So just as a person has to prepare physically for the yontif, you know, for all the needs that are necessary, you know, physically and so on, all the more so that indicates the sort of spiritual preparation that's required for the yontif of Pesach. The Yontif of Pesach is an amazing, amazing time when we use it properly and when we engage with the time in a good way. So this is what I want to do. So I want to share with you a basic idea. It's not so complicated. Just a basic idea to sort of frame this time, you know, to frame Yontif through, and maybe from there we'll be able to navigate to get some like maybe practical, again, Zach Dinsky level practical of ways to navigate the yontif in terms of preparing for it. You know, so it's like this. You know, there's a well known debate in the Gemara when the world was created, right? It's machlokas in the Gemara when the world was created. So the Gemara says, it's a disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer said, "B'tishrei nivra olam," the world was created in Tishrei. That's usually what we think of, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of creation. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, the Nisan, if the world was created in Nisan. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings sources, each one has a source and so on. Now, regardless of whether we hold like this opinion or hold like that opinion, if there is such a debate, it means that on some level they're both true. On some level they're both true. On some level the world was created, there's a beginning of the world, a Tishrei version of the world, and a Nisan version of the world. Well, we see this physically, right? I mean, during the time of Nisan, supposedly that's when the spring is, and so there's a certain sense of like renewal. There's a certain sense of like physically the world becoming sort of reborn and recreated to a certain degree. So what is the difference? What does it mean that, let's put it this way, what aspect of the world is created in Tishrei, and what aspect of the world is created in Nisan? If they're both times of the world being created, what aspect of the world is created in Tishrei? And what aspect is created in Nisan? So it's as follows. When it comes to Tishrei, what side of the world is created in Tishrei? Well, the world, the physical world. The world that we know, the world that we see, the world that you can touch and smell and taste. And the physical world is created in Tishrei. And that's why on Rosh Hashanah and all the holidays that flow from Rosh Hashanah, we focus on Hashem being the Melech. Hashem is the King. The King of what? The King over the physical world. Because that's the world that was created in Tishrei. What aspect of creation, what aspect of the world was created in Nisan? The answer is Nisan is a time where not the world was created. The world was already here. Nisan is a time where the Jewish people are created. The Jewish people are created. And the Jewish people, and we know this, right? Nisan is the time of Pesach. Pesach is not just the time where we got out of slavery. You have to think deeper than that. Nisan, Pesach is the birthday of the Jewish people. That's what it is. It's the birthday of the Jewish people. Tishrei is the birthday of the world. And Nisan, Pesach, is the birthday of the Jewish people. Now, the way we were born was through that catharsis, through that cauldron, you know, that was called Mitzrayim. But the Jewish people emerging out of Egypt is like a baby being born. It's the birth of the Jewish people. And therefore, to a certain degree, that's why, you know, you'll find a lot of parallels, for example, between Nisan, let's say the things that we say by the Seder, and Rosh Hashanah. So, for example, Rosh Hashanah, one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah is Chaim, is life, right? We daven constantly throughout Rosh Hashanah for life. We should have a good life. You know, take kasev, you say chasev, you say for, you know, we should be written in the book of life. Life, life, life. L'man chalakim chayim. Pesach is also very much about life. One of the psukim that we say throughout the Seder is that Hashem saw us in Egypt, and Hashem said, b'damayich chayi, b'damayich chayi, with your blood you'll live, with your blood you'll live. The meaning of life is also connected to Pesach. And that's, you know, to a certain degree, that's why there's a focus of on children on Pesach night, is because anyone that's alive is alive. But children are very alive. There's a certain chiyus, a certain energy that children naturally have. You know, they're you know, just as time goes on, you get slower. You know, you get more lethargic, you get heavier, you get just, you know, more weighed down. Children are, again, everyone has a life energy to them, but children's, their life energy is much more sort of potent. It's fresh, it's new. So since Pesach is a time of life, so therefore there's this certain connection that we have to the children as well. So this is what, but this is the inyan of what Pesach is. Pesach is a time of the birth of the Jewish people. Now from this perspective, now let's begin to understand a little bit of what that means exactly. What makes the Jewish people different? Because once we understand what makes the Jewish people different, now we'll be able to appreciate and to approach Pesach better. Because once we understand it, again, number one, Pesach is the birth of the Jewish people, not just the time that we got out of Egypt. The getting out of Egypt means the birth of the Jewish people, the creation of the Jewish people, the birthday of the Jewish people. So now what is the Jewish people exactly? What are the Jewish people? And that'll be what Pesach is about. So what makes us different? What are we? So I'll tell you what we're not. What we're not. Now, this is not going to be maybe anything new to most of you. I hope not. But what are we not? Okay. What we're not is just a regular nation with new or different obligations. That's what we're not. That's what we're not. There's such a thing. There are human beings in the world. What was it? 7 billion we're up to, whatever the number is, right? There's a lot of human beings in the world. Ken Yerbu, in a good and healthy way. And Hashem has given mitzvahs to human beings. There's a certain category of mitzvahs that are given to human beings. Those are called Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The 7 mitzvahs that are given to all the nations of the world, those are mitzvahs that are given to human beings. What are the Taryag mitzvahs? What are the 613? The 613 are not, you know, just another 606 in addition to the 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noach. That's not what Taryag mitzvahs are. It's a new category. Why? Because the Jewish people are not just a nation amongst nations, human beings with different obligations. It's not who we are. What is a Jew? What are the Jewish people? The Jewish people are Hashem's presence on planet Earth. The Jewish people are a neshama, on a soul, a piece of Hashem himself, kviyachal, a chelek, ilakam, imal, mamish, enclosed in physical bodies. That's who we are. That's who we are. We are neshamas traveling through planet Earth in order to accomplish what neshamas are supposed to accomplish, which is to illuminate the world, bring God's presence to the world, change the world for the better. That's what we do. Now, how does a neshama, how does a soul affect the world? The only way for neshama to affect the world is if it somehow speaks the same language as the world and looks like it's a part of the world and is able to walk and talk and to engage with the world and pick things up and put things down. So it needs a body. It needs a vehicle. But that's what the Jewish people are. It's, you know, for a person to think that the Jewish people or a Jewish person or that each and every one of us is basically a human being, no different than, you know, anyone, any other person of the 7 billion out there, that would be no different than a person driving down the road and thinking that people are cars. And cars are people. That's ridiculous. A person is driving a car. Yeah, that's the person's mode of transportation. That's how they get from point A to point B. That's how they engage with the world. You need a vehicle. But who is the person? The person's not the car. The fundamental principle of Pesach is realizing this truth, that what the Jewish people are and what each and every one of us are and what our family is and every single Jew is a neshama enclosed in a body. And the fundamental objective of Pesach is in order to process that idea, to process that truth, and to give voice and to engage with each other and to give voice for yourself for your neshama, and to allow that deeper identity of who you are and who the people around you are, to allow that to emerge. Let me give you an example of this. What's one of the fundamental differences between how a neshama looks at something and how a body looks at something? I'll give you as an example. When a body hears about something, like an event in history, right? So let's say Yitzis Mitzrayim. Pesach is about, again, we came out of Egypt, fine. That event, it changes between how the body views it, how a human being views it, versus how a neshama views it. When a human being, one of the 7 billion people, view a historical experience, again, for example, Yitzis Mitzrayim, how does the body view it? The body views it as something that once upon a time happened. And of course, it has its effects nowadays. It has its imprint on us. It's something worthwhile remembering. Of course, it's something that you commemorate, like President's Day, whatever that is for. So these are events, historical events that are extremely significant, extremely important, and and the ripple effect continues to this day. But that's how bodies view things. Bodies are stuck in bodies view things from a very physical, tangible perspective. The nature of physical life and the nature of the body is there's past, there's present, and there's future. And there's no such thing as a time machine. You can't go back. You can't go forward. You are where you are. Events in the past affect you. You know what I mean? And you look forward to events in the future, but there are past events, and there's future events, and there's current events. That's the basic framework of physical reality, beginning, middle, and end, past, present, future. And that's how human beings engage with reality, is that there are past events that are past, there are future events that are future, and there are present events that are present. They're all, again, they all connect, they all affect each other, but that's the framework. That's not how neshamas operate. That's not how neshamas operate. Neshamas operate that what happened back then is still happening right now. What has yet to happen is to a certain degree happening now. Neshamas are not stuck in this linear way of thinking of like past, present, future. This is why the halacha of Pesach night, which is the primary mitzvah of Pesach night, besides the eating and drinking, talking about in terms of like the mental mitzvah, the mental primary mitzvah of Pesach night is to think about the Exodus, to talk about Yitzis Mitzrayim, right? Sibur Yitzis Mitzrayim. But the fundamental mitzvah, and this always gets, I can't say always, it's not nice to say, but very often it gets overlooked because we're so caught up in the words or caught up in preparing, getting things from the kitchen or whatever it is that you're occupied by. But the main point very often gets missed, which is the essential point is to imagine as if you yourself right now, it's happening to you. Yitzis Mitzrayim, to whatever it means, Yitzis Mitzrayim is happening to you right now. So this is where it becomes a funny thing. The body looks at that halacha, right? B'chol dover, that's what we say in the Haggadah. B'chol dover dor, every single generation. Chayav adam liris es atzma, you have to see yourself as if you are leaving Egypt right now. So when you read that line or you think about that, when the body reads that, right? When the human mind reads that, it thinks to itself, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It didn't happen to me. It's not happening to me. And then the mind says to itself, yeah, but you know what? But the person that wrote that line, that God was a super smart guy. So he probably is writing it for a reason. So what's the reason? So then the human mind starts thinking, you know what? Because if I use my imagination and I pretend as if, it's happening right now, that'll probably inspire me more. It'll probably make the lesson of Yitzis Mitzrayim more impactful. That's all how the body explains things, but that's not the truth. The truth is it's happening right now. It's not happening now. It is happening now. What do you mean it's happening now? In the body's universe, it's not happening now. But in the neshama's universe, it's happening now. And when it comes to Pesach night, that's the point. We're trying to give a voice and an expression to reality as the neshama experiences it. And when the neshama experiences Yitzis Mitzrayim, it's current events. I'll give you an example. Usually when it comes to a yontif, part of the mitzvahs of yontif is to say halal, right? You say halal on yontif. You say halal on Rosh Chodesh. There's times that you say halal. There's only one time, and usually there's certain rules and regulations to say halal. First of all, I mean, some basic things. I mean, we all know this. You say halal during the day, right? You don't say halal Shavuos night, Sukkos night, Rosh Chodesh night. You say halal by the day. Number two, you stand when you say halal, Right? Number three, you make a bracha before you say halal. Right? Asher kidshan v'zoy zizvonu, likrei sahal. All of a sudden, something strange happens Pesach night. We say halal Pesach night. First of all, it's at night, you're saying halal. You don't usually do that. Number two, you're sitting. Number three, no bracha. Right? You don't start in the Haggadah, you just like sort of, you go into halal. Right? We don't start with a Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Asher Kidshanu. There's no, just, you go right into it. Why? So Rishonim explained, because there's fun, it's a different halal Pesach night. The Rishonim explained like this, when you say halal on Sukkot, on Shavuos, on Rish Chodesh, you are remembering a past event, and you are commemorating a past event, and thanking God for something that happened in the past. And by doing so, it's more ceremonial. Right? So when it's ceremonial, you stand, you make a bracha before, you prepare yourself, it's a ceremonial event. That's not Pesach night. Pesach night is spontaneous. Because you were just taken out. If something amazing just happened to you right now, and you say, oh my gosh, Baruch Hashem, I cannot, I'm so thankful for what just happened. You don't. It's not a ceremony that you prepare. It's not something you, okay, I have to officially stand for this, make a bracha. It's not. It's a spontaneous thing. Someone does you a favor. In the moment, you say thank you. In the moment, you're excited. That's what halal is Pesach night. That's not, again, so in the body, this doesn't make any sense to the body. None of this makes any sense to the body. It's not happening right now. It happened a long time ago. This is, what am I asking the same questions for? Manishtan. It's ridiculous. As far as the body's concerned, the kids asked the questions last year. They're going to ask them again. It's like, what are we doing? The answer is, that's the point of Pesach night. The point of Pesach night is to try to bring out a deeper identity from ourselves, which is who the Jewish people truly are, collectively and as individually, which is neshamas enclosed in bodies. Neshamas enclosed in bodies. Now, because this is the objective of Pesach, this is why everything is so structured and everything is so guided. Why? Because we don't know what we're doing when it comes to allowing the neshama to communicate. Listen, if it was a matter of allowing the body to talk and allow the body to process Yitzis Mitzrayim and to learn the proper lessons from it and to go forward and to better ourselves, then we could figure that out. Of course, Chazal would still guide us like they always do, but okay, you know. Every yontif is about that, right? We sit in a sukkah on sukkahs, zeich leitzis mitzrayim, right? We have shavuos, zeich leitzis mitzrayim. So Pesach is zeich leitzis mitzrayim. So all the holidays are remembering yitzis mitzrayim. But when it comes to sukkahs and shavuos and Shabbos and basically every mitzvah, the chumash says zeich leitzis mitzrayim, the chumash says to remember yitzis mitzrayim 50 times in chumash. Basically every mitzvah that we have is to remind us of yitzis mitzrayim. Anoichi Hashem alekecha. Has Hashem introduced Torah? I'm Hashem, your God, that what? Asher Tzitzich Meretz Mitzrayim. That's so when it comes to every single mitzvah, which is all about Yitzis Mitzrayim, you figure it out. Every yontif, have a meal, enjoy yourselves, fine. All of a sudden, Pesach, it's like, now you're going to wash your hands, right? And you're going to wash again without a bracha. You're going to have this amount of potatoes, this amount of part, whatever it is. Like, it's super, super mesoder. Why? The answer is because it's different, like, because how else can we do it? How else can you do it? You're asking a person who, from the very moment they come into the world, is constantly being convinced by their experience around them that they're a human being. You're a human being, you're a body, the past is the past, the future is the future, present is the present. You can't cross over from one thing. Like, we're constantly being, what's the word? Inundated with that piece of information, and that's the reality, right? I mean, neshamas can travel from one end of the universe to the other like that, right? Bodies can't. So every single second of life, we're being reprogrammed to convince ourselves that we're human beings. Like there's a Gemara in Saita that says in Maisa that there was a certain Amora that he was in a very dangerous situation, and it's a crazy story, but like in order to save his spiritual life, because there's a big Nisayan going on over there, in order to save his spiritual life, he was on a roof, and there was someone there that he wasn't he wasn't able to be with in the same roof. So he said, you know, forget it. So he jumps off the roof. He's like, okay, so that's the end. And then, like a Superman, you know, like Gemara says that Elyonovi, like, came and caught him. And Elyonovi says to the Amar, he says, like, what are you doing? I was on, Elio says, like, I was on the other side of the planet helping someone over there. And then, like, Baruch Hashem, I was able to make it to save you. Like, neshamas can travel like that, but people can't. So every single second of life, we're being again, reprogrammed that we're just human beings. So all of a sudden, Pesach night, we're being asked, like, no, that's not who you are. And I want you to give voice to your neshama, allow your neshama to communicate, allow your neshama to express itself. Well, good luck. I don't know how to do that. This is exactly why the Seder is so meticulous. And this leads to the next point, which is that the second most fundamental aspect that a person has to have by the Seder. So the first point is just to frame the whole experience, which is the point of the Seder is in order to bring out from us a deeper identity, which is that we are neshamas. We are neshamas sent from the higher world to conquer this world for Hashem. That's who we are. In order to conquer the world for Hashem, we have to speak the language, and we have to play the part of being a part of the world. So that's why Hashem gives us bodies, but that's not who we are. That's called the birth of the Jewish people. That's the birth of a Jewish person. That's the framing. Number two, every single step of the Seder, every single halach of Pesach night is custom made by Hashem and through Chazal to be able to somehow exercise the neshama, to allow the neshama out of its silence. And again, the point that I'm trying to make now is you have to therefore believe in the mitzvahs that you're doing on Pesach. You have to believe in it. They're not man-made, right? It's like, I've mentioned this line before. I heard it from somebody, so I'm stealing it, but okay. You can't, what was the line? You can't become supernatural with all natural ingredients, right? So it's like a person, if you want to become like a neshama talking, then you're not going to be able to figure that out, how to do that on your own. You need Hashem to guide it. You need Chazal, who are living, breathing neshamas, to be able to guide you. So that means, therefore, practically speaking, here's the following points. Trust the mitzvahs of Pesach night. Don't create lachas for yourselves. Don't let your husbands all get all like nervous about if they're leading a seder or whatever. I have to say this dvartar, that dvartar. What happens if the kids are going crazy? What happens? It doesn't make a difference. Trust the mitzvahs. You hear Kiddush? Wash your hands without a bracha. Eat a piece of parsley dipped in salt water. Break the middle matzah. Just go through the Seder and trust the process. Because again, it's above our pay grade anyway. 98% of what has to happen on Pesach in terms of allowing the neshama to identify itself, giving the neshama its energy that it needs for the coming year, giving each and every one of yourselves and your families all the emunah and bitachin and strength and redemptive energy that you need for the coming year, which is all things that the neshama absorbs Pesach night, 98% of that happens by just keeping the mitzvahs. Just keep the mitzvahs. Do what you have to do, and that's it. That's one ingredient that's required, Pesach night, to trust the mitzvahs. Trust. Trust what Chazal say, trust what the Torah says, and believe in it, and believe that you're fulfilling it. Number two, since the goal is to allow the neshama to, again, be identified properly, and to allow the neshama to absorb what it needs in order to fulfill its mission, which is to bring light to the world. So it needs a full dosage of a healthy dosage of emunah, a healthy dosage of bitachon, a healthy dosage of divine inspiration, a healthy dosage of yeshiva das, a healthy dosage of motivation, a healthy dosage of redemptive energy. It needs all that stuff. And the way it's going to absorb it is by keeping the halachas, by doing the mitzvahs. The next thing that you have to do is love, this might be the heart, I've mentioned this other years also, love and appreciate the people that you're with. And look at them as neshamas. When you look at yourself like as a neshama, and then you look at other people around you as a neshama, then all of a sudden neshamas talk, the neshamas communicate. So I'll give you an example. You could be sitting by a Seder, this doesn't happen by my Seder. You could ask the Rebbetzin. It's every kid is sitting there with their elbows off the table, and it's 100% perfect.
Yeah, very
yeah. So when you sit by the Seder, right, and like the, who knows whatever's going on, just take a second. And it's important to do this. Take a second. Well, you're eating the matzah, yeah? So you're eating matzah, you have a few minutes of just like chewing, right? Awkwardly chewing in silence, right? So, well, like, what are you thinking then? You're thinking like, I don't want to eat this matzah anymore, right? So there's all different thoughts that come. What can you be thinking? Look around the Seder. Whether you're sitting with one person, whether you're sitting with 50 people, maybe you're in a room with 200 people. Whatever it is, look around the room and think to yourself, these are neshamas. I'm a neshama. The people around me are neshamas. The people by extension around me are neshamas. And Hashem put us here because obviously our neshamas are connected to each other. And daven to Hashem that your neshama and the neshamas of your families and the neshamas of your friends and all the neshamas should be able to properly absorb all the emuna and the bitachon and the geula and the energy that they need for the coming year. This is a birthday. So on a birthday, Hashem gives you all the dosage and all the energy that you need for the coming year. Like don't, and then by the way, what's the amazing thing is, if you look around the room like that, and you look at people and you identify them and you say to yourself consciously, like, this is a neshama. And let's say, you you know the names of the neshamas. I mean, you might not know everyone's name if it's like a huge room, but like hopefully the people by your table that you're sitting with, you know their names. So think about that. Like, okay, this person's name, their neshama's name is, you know, Chana, Rivka, whatever, you know, whatever, their Jewish name. And imagine to yourself that you're talking to them. You're not talking to them. Your mouth is, you know, you're just chewing politely with your mouth closed, right? And neshama's talk to each other like that. Neshama's talk to each other like that. And you know what happens? Then all of a sudden, even if bodies are like all over the place, right? And this kid is throwing a tantrum, and this person is falling asleep, and this person is saying Lashon Hara, and this person is saying a Dvar Torah no one's listening to. It's all, you know. But in your mind, that's all bodies talking. Pesach is not about bodies anyway. It's neshamas communicating. And you look around the room, and you say, you know, Reuven, and Yankel, and Beryl, and Sprintza, whatever it is. And you say to each one of them, like, you know, you say your name in your mind, and you talk to them. You say, "I want to wish you chakosh v'semech. Hashem should bless you with amun and bitachin and itzchaskas, and your neshama should illuminate your life. And please give me a bracha. And imagine yourselves getting a bracha from that person. And then I'm telling you, and this is with your hands folded, eating your matzah, eating your mar, dipping it into charei, whatever you're doing, with yishuv hadas. Yishuv hadas. That's what Pesach is. That's what Pesach is. You can't force it. You have to believe in the mitzvahs that you're doing and believe in the people that you're with. You have to believe in the people that you're with. Because I've mentioned this many times, and maybe I'm throwing a lot of ideas out, but neshamas are like networks. You know, it's not like individual. It's not just individuals. It's like networks. Like if for your like yearly dosage of emuna and bitachon and redemptive energy, it comes to you as part of a network of neshamas. That's how it works. So which neshamas are part of your network? The answer is the ones that bashkacha pratis you're having the Seder with. So don't fight it, you know what I'm saying? Again, you have to go with normal, you know, have to make the, you know, you prepare yourself, you prepare the, you know, the list of guests, whatever, you figure it out. But without lachatz, you know, how many people over the course of the years, and this year, you know, people, you know, complain to me like, you know, they're going to be by this person, that person, and it's not going to be the ideal situation for them. I tell them, like, what do you know of ideal situation? Your body, as far as your body is concerned, maybe it's not the ideal situation. As far as your neshama is concerned, you never met your neshama. So how do you know what your neshama needs? How do you know which network of souls is specifically custom-made for you this year? You have no idea. So you go to Hashkocha Pratis. If this is the network of people that I'm supposed to be with, evidently, then that's the network of people I'm supposed to deal with. And this is the network, this is the system that the infusion into my soul, the Emunah B'Tachon that I need for this coming year is coming to me and it's coming to them all together. That's the way it is. And there's nothing, not with lachatz, not with any anxiety and nervousness. You go like that. So number one, trust the process. Trust the mitzvahs. B'simcha rabba. B'simcha rabba. Make sure you do the mitzvahs. Make sure you do the mitzvahs. Number two, love and connect to the people that you're with on a neshama level. On a neshama level. And again, the Yetzirah is going to fight. The Yetzirah is going to try to make the body very loud and annoyed. Just take a second, breathe, and remind yourself, you're a neshama, the people around you are neshamas, and we're here for a reason, we're here to receive. And the body can make all the noise it wants, and it can be disruptive as it wants, it makes no difference. I'm eating matzah, and I trust the fact that I'm eating matzah, and I trust the fact that Hashem is giving my neshama, with all the neshamas around, its dosage of emunah and bitachin and redemptive energy, b'simcha rabba. B'simcha rabba. Now, that's Pesach itself. But then there's also leading to Pesach. And this is the last point I'll make. I don't know, where are we holding over here? Yeah. In order for a neshama to be able to have a good voice and to articulate itself and to be strong and well, which is what Pesach is about, there is a step that comes before that, which is quieting and, not quieting is the wrong word, softening the body. See, like I said before, we're a neshama in a casing, in a vehicle. That's called the guf, that's called the body. The problem is, very often, even if you were to have all the necessary steps in place to allow your neshama to speak loud and clear, but you could be speaking loud and clear, but if everyone else in the room is also talking loud and clear, then you get drowned out, right? So Pesach night, like I said before, trusting the mitzvahs, connecting to the people that you're with, is about allowing your neshama to speak clearly and to articulate itself and to allow it to receive its energy in a good way. But if at the same time the body's also as coarse, as thick, as noisy, like internally, as it always is, then it's also no good. So Hashem made something amazing about Pesach, which is that as you get closer and closer to Pesach, part of preparing for Pesach is to crush the body. And it sounds a little bit not nice, but this is the... There's a reason why the birth of the Jewish people came out of slavery. There's a reason for this. And there's a reason why preparing for Pesach is hard. And there's a reason why it doesn't matter what the situation is. If you're making Pesach at home, first of all, gewaldig, and second of all, it's hard work. If you're not making Pesach at home and you're traveling somewhere, good luck with the lines and good luck with the traveling. Good luck. It's stressful. It's hard. It's back-breaking labor. Good. That's what you want. That's what you want. Again, I'm not saying to look for excuses to make it harder for yourself. It'll come. You know, the difficulties, but that's good. And you have to realize this, that as you go through the preparations for Pesach and you find yourself more exhausted physically, emotionally, and just like more drained, like when we remind yourself, the reason why I'm doing this is to soften my body. That it shouldn't be as noisy, it shouldn't be as coarse, it shouldn't block the light of my neshama, because this is what makes a person feel really worn out, because the neshama isn't given its energy until Pesach itself. So before Pesach, your energy is on low, and your body's being broken, right? So you got nothing, right? That's why going into Pesach, people feel completely unempty. That's good. That's the hachana, that's the way it is. The body's broken down. And again, you understand what I'm saying when I say body broken? I don't mean chas v'shalom. You understand? Okay, fine. Good. The avoid of it. So to be an eved, and to be a shifcha, to be a slave and a maid. That's the avoid of Pesach. It's the avoid of Pesach. And that happens, that allows the body. Now, the body doesn't realize what's happening. The body's just like kicking and screaming, like, what are you doing? I want to go on vacation now, or I don't want to do this. Like, and there's a taskmaster, right? There's an Egyptian guy with a whip, just whipping it, like, you know, and the body's like, well, what am I doing this for? And it's all for one purpose, which is that when comes Pesach night and you're tired, and you feel guilty about all the yelling and screaming that you did over the past week to the same kids that now you're told to the God of Bincha, you know. And your psyche, emotionally, the human part of who you are is drained and spent and guilt-ridden. Good. Good. Because now it's quiet, it's tamed, it's been crushed. And now you can have a Seder and you can allow your neshama to to absorb its light, and it could become the dominant force over the course of the year. This is how Hashem makes it. You have to be a slave first in order to get out of it. That's the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of Pesach. So like I said, each person in their own way, however your Pesach is, when, and I'm not saying if, but when situations come that are stressful and taxing on your patience, physically tiring, you name it, again, take a second to breathe, remind yourself, good. Because the more that I absorb this, the healthier it's going to be for my neshama comes Pesach, and by extension, it'll be healthier for the neshamas, again, as a network, as each individual neshama, like, the stronger each piece is, the stronger the network. So the more it's good for me, it'll be good for everybody else. And yeah, do I feel terribly guilty about, like, yelling and screaming, you know, at the people that I'm, yeah. That's part of slavery also. The guilt and it's all part of it. And the nervousness and, you know, I don't have to give examples. Everyone knows. These are important things. And you have to know, again, it's all bashgacha pratis, it's custom, it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And this is the process. But the ultimate goal is for a person to be able to go through a Pesach and to believe and to trust that through Pesach, a deeper identity emerges. And that deeper identity, which is a neshama, emerges, and on Pesach, it absorbs everything it needs to carry out its mission. Amuna and bitachon and redemptive energy. And that's the idea. This is why, by the way, when it comes to Pesach night, for example, the mitzvah of talking about Yitzis and Sarim, learning about it, why does it have to be like parent to child or teacher to student? Why does it have to be like, why can't, if you think about it, why can't it just be like Hashem can say, everyone sit down with a book, sit down with Chumash and learn. Like there's Shavuos, right? Shavuos we just learn, right? So why can't Pesach be like that? The answer is it's not what it's about. It's about the neshamas experiencing something. And neshamas experience something through other neshamas. It's not just in a vacuum. It's something that, it's the light of Amuna, the light of Vitachon, the light of redemption that travels from through souls. That's what Pesach is about. Again, so as I said, just to remind ourselves of some of the basic things. And to, again, Pesach is about the birth of the Jewish people, the birth of the Jewish person, and who we are as a people and as individuals. Our neshama sent to planet Earth to illuminate the world. That identity, we're davening and hoping, becomes more clear on Pesach, through Pesach. Again, it's not going to be obvious Pesach morning if you're tired. But with time, over the course of the year. And as the neshama becomes more identified and becomes more, sort of vocal through Pesach, it receives everything it needs to carry out its mission. It's emunah, it's bitachon, it's redemption. So believe in the mitzvahs that you do. Connect on a soul level, on a neshama level to the people around you, and expect slavery going into it. Because that's part of the idea. The body has to be softened. When the body's softened, then the neshama has space to communicate. So these are the two ingredients of Pesach. The softening of the body as a preparation for Pesach, and the injection of emunah, bitachon, redemptive energy into the neshama itself. And then the sum total of that, that's a Jew whose identity is neshama and the body is a vehicle. That's a Jew. So those are the two basic ingredients. I just learned with a story. So it's a well-known story. I'll say it like this. You know, Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, it once happened that it was the Seder night, and he went through the Seder, and the story goes that he was very, you know, by the end of the Seder, the last thing is Nirtza. Oh, by the way, this is a point thing to make. What's the most important, I'd say it's the most important, it's not the right word, but yeah, what's the most underrated simen by the Seder, you know, Kaddish Ruchatz Karpatz, what's the most underrated? I just said it a second ago, you should have Nirtza. Yes, Nirtza. Nirtza is most underrated. Why? What do you do by Nirtza? Chagadye, sing songs, that's not Nirtza. Those songs are just songs of post-Seder. Like, when the Seder's over, you sing those songs. What's Nirtza? Kaddish is you make Kiddush. Urchatz, you wash your hands. Karpatz. What's Nirtza? You know what Nirtza is? Nirtza is sitting back, and this is the obligation of Nirtza. And by the Mekubalim, you should know the height, the culmination of the Seder is Nirtza. What is Nirtza? Nirtza is sitting back and saying to yourself, Eiskepot, accomplished, mission accomplished. You're going through the process, Kaddish, Orchatz, and again, like I said before, like what's happening? 98% is happening just by keeping the mitzvahs. Nirtza is the time where you allow yourself to believe in the fact that you accomplished what needed to be accomplished. Nirtza. The word Nirtza means it is desirable, it is wanted. Hashem, like this was accepted. So Nirtza is the time of allowing that to happen. And that's what the tzaddikim and tzidkaniyas do. They sit by Nirtza. You could sing, you sing all the songs also, but allow yourself to believe that your neshama, along with all the neshamas that you're part of, absorbed through the Seder, all the emuna, all the bitachin, all the confidence, all the self-identity and the strength that it needs for the coming year. You have to believe that it just happened. That is Nirtza. And you have to do that. Don't just go Kaddish, Urchas, Karpas, Yachas, and go to bed. No. Kaddish, Urchas, Karpas, Yachas, and so on. And then Nirtza, sit back for a second and say, mission accomplished. My neshama, I believe, absorbed all the energy that it needs and it requires, along with all the other neshamas. And good for me. And it'll be good. You have to believe that. So the story goes about Ditcher is sitting by Nirtza, and he's reminding himself this. That's what he can do. And he's feeling good, like, okay, Gvaldik. And he thinks to himself, maybe there's a passing thought in his mind, which is like, maybe my Seder was like the most amazing Seder. And you should believe that. But yeah. And then, you know, Hashem has a way of talking to the Baruch Shiva. So Hashem somehow communicated to him, your Seder was amazing, but there was another Yid in town that had a better Seder than you. There's a better Seder. So he gets the address, whatever. So he goes outside and he goes to the Seder. And he finds this Yid, and he asks this Yid, like, what was your Seder like? To make a long story short, he makes him, like, go through the whole process for him. And everything seems to be, like, normal, like, Kaddish, or whatever. And then he says, okay, so how do you read the Haggadah? Maybe there's something about different how you read it. And he gets the Haggadah, and he says, like, Rabbi, I should just read the Haggadah to you the way I did. He says, yeah, read it the way you did. Okay. So he goes, and he gets to the four sons, right? Say, can I get Arabon and retire? The Torah talks about four sons, four children. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein Deilishin, right? And he says, and as the guy is reading the Haggadah, this is how he says it. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein Deilishin. This guy was an Amoris, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know the translation or anything. From the time he's little, he says Shema. And Shema, he says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Gneshem Echad. So he sees the word Echad, that's what Echad says. So Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha. The British says, ah, what does it? That was it. So the Talmidim said to the British, like, what's the big deal about saying it like that? He said, you know what this guy did? There's situations in life, there's corners of a person's life that's called a Chacham corner. There's a Rasha corner, there's a Tam corner, there's an Enei De'Elisha corner, there's all different types of experiences, all different types of Jews, all different types of things. And what this Yid was saying is, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha. It's Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The same God runs through souls of Jewish people the same way. Be Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Shein, Delishol. See, all those different types, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Shein, Delishol, those are body differences. So there's some people that their body, you know, based on the way they physically live, they're the Chacham, the Rasha, the neshama. Every neshama deep down in its core is echad. And that's what the Seder is. The Seder is about allowing that space and that truth of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is what the neshama cares about the most, to allow that to be. Okay. Hashem should bless each and every one of us, that we should zecha to have echad kosher samech on all levels. And begashmis ubruchnias, wherever you find yourself for Pesach, the Rabbanu Shalom, certainly you should believe that the Rabbanu Shalom is going to send you everything that you need, all the shef, all the brachas that your neshama needs for you and your families. And like I said, the avdus coming into Pesach should be as easy as possible, but whatever level of avdus each of us has to go through, embrace it, believe it, and Bez Hashem, know that Hashem is with you in that, and from there into the Seder, and from there to Gula Shleim, which is there to experience it. B'karv mamish, b'rachman rabim, b'yiskol tzedek, meher v'meinu, amen. Once again, thank you very much for opening your home. Only brachas, only good things.